family. I have to leave my friends. I have to leave my mentors. It's only a place I can go to. The testing of my faith is exactly that. It's not the testing of my wife's faith, not the testing of my children's faith, but it's a spot God has hedged out to try me and to grow me. It's a place where only I can go. But thank God, according to the Word, I will never truly be alone in those places of testing, because our God said this: I will never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't only say it once. He didn't say it twice, four times, five times. He said it seven times in the Word of God. That's the number of completion or perfection. So when God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, it's perfect, and He means it that way. So you may feel alone, but you're not alone. It's a place where you have to go alone. And so the Bible says this. The Bible also says, when we think about this place of trial, is this. This place of trial is exactly what Abraham is about to do. It is a place where you've got to lay something down. That's what worship is, by the way. Don't run out of here jumping up and down at the restaurant telling people how you had worship this morning if you didn't lay something down. I've studied worship at one time and at length throughout the Word of God just to see. Everybody's got this idea about worship and what it's supposed to be. These new age movements and new church movements and all this, they've wrote these books and thoughts and ideology on what it is to worship. And I got in the Word of God and opened up the Word. I said, God, I want to see what worship is in the Bible. And one of the things I found that always, 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 without exception, happens in the Word of God when somebody truly worships our Savior is they always lay something down. It may be praise. It may be pain. It may be your sin. It may be thankfulness. But don't say you've been to worship unless you have laid something down. Laid it down on the altar. That's why I still believe I'm old school. I still believe we're going to give an invitation every time the Word of God is presented. And I still believe that this altar is here for a reason. This altar is here for you to wear those aisles out, leaving your pews, getting in this altar, so you can lay down whatever it is that you need to lay down in order to have completed a time together worshiping our Savior. So we're always going to do that. We're not going to do away. Listen to me. There is this movement where these pastors have done away with these altars, and they've said, we're not going to do that anymore. It's not cool. People just don't respond to that. But what we do have is we have this little room off to the side over there. And if you have any needs, then you come off to the side and we'll talk to you about your needs in that room. And we'll do it in private. It won't have to be anything public. Listen, worship is public. There is private worship, absolutely. But collectively, as God's people, we get together. We bring the strain of the trying of our faith. We bring that to the Lord. We lay that on the altar, and when God sees that, it's an act of worship. Are you with me? Amen. Well, let's just move on very quickly then. But I want you also to notice what Abraham tells his servants. Here is a mark of Abraham's faith. He tells these servants, he says, stay here. I've got to go it alone. You can only go so far. And by the way, when you think you're alone. That is one of the most awful places to ever be. When you think nobody understands, when you think nobody else has ever been there, when you think nobody else will ever be where you're at in your particular situation, and you're all alone, that is a horrible place to be. So Abraham says, I've got to go this alone. It's a trying of my faith, a testing of my faith. That's what this place is. I've got to go alone. Watch what he tells the servant. Here's a mark of his faith. Here's what he says. He tells the servant, he says, just hang out, because because I will be back. What a statement of faith. God tells him, he says, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. I want you to put him up on the altar. And the Bible says that he did that. The Bible says then that he tells these men, stay here because myself and Isaac, we are going up there where God's told me to sacrifice him. And Abraham didn't just say, I'm coming back. Abraham said, we're coming back. And so as we look at this picture from the fleshly perspective, Abraham's going to the top of the mountain where he has to sacrifice his son Isaac. It looks to me that if he has to sacrifice his son, that Abraham is going to be coming back alone without his son. Are you with me? But Abraham has enough faith to know, and he looks at those men and says, me and Isaac's got to go up there, but you just hang on because we're coming back. I'm bringing Isaac with me. How is that? Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Abraham so believed God that he believed that if God even required him to kill his son Isaac, that God was going to raise his son Isaac up in resurrection. What's so significant about that is this, is that in the Bible we've seen pictures of resurrection throughout Scripture, but Abraham did not have Scripture. Abraham had never seen a resurrection. Abraham had never seen somebody raised from the dead. And so, but Abraham believed, if I have to kill him, I trust in God's promise for me, his child, so much that I believe God will resurrect that son, and both of us, just as we went up that mountain, we're coming down that mountain, and it's all going to pan out in the end. Listen to me, I want you to understand that even though you may think you're going to die, even though you may think you may see no tomorrows, even though you may think you're going to lose it all, even though you may think that there's no way the doctors can undo what the doctors have said that has happened already, I want you to understand that God is trying your faith. God has no means to crucify you and bury you and let there be no resurrection. But if you'll let God test your faith, try your faith, my friend, God will raise you up if he has to when this thing's all said and done. So there's this trying of our faith. There's the place of trial, but then there's the purpose of this trial. I want you to notice a couple of things, and I'm starting to close. Watch this. There's the purpose. Number one's obedience. There is the obedience of Abraham. God says, Abraham. Abraham speaks right up. Yes, God. Most of us, you know where we're at on that. We walk at this comfortable distance with God. And so God has to say, Abraham, Yoo-hoo, Abraham, hey Abraham, you remember me? I'm over here. Abraham, see, most of us, that's how it has to be. Abraham's walking with God. And God says, Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am. God says, here's what I want you to do. Listen to me. The text does not mean that Abraham, don't get the image that Abraham gathered up Isaac, fired the wood, and said, okay, God, anything you want, I'll do. No problem, God. I just want to please you. I'll sacrifice my son. Hallelujah. God, you've given me a task. I'm going to do it. I'll click my heels. We'll jump for joy, and we'll sing hallelujahs. Put yourself in the text. I'd say it didn't go like that. I'd say it's the worst day of Abraham's life. I'd say he walked with his head down, his chin hung to his chest. I'd say he cried. I'd say he wept. But listen, it was to teach the purpose. You understand, there's this place of trial, but there's also this purpose, and the purpose is this, to learn obedience. So Abraham learn to be obedient. Not only Abraham, Isaac. Those little paintings in the Sunday school classrooms that we see of this picture, this text where Abraham's a little bitty boy. He's tied up, laid on the altar. Well, it's very moving to preach it that way. It'll stir our hearts and humble us if we portray it like that. But Isaac right here was not a little boy. Isaac right here was a young man. In fact, Isaac, he could have whipped Abraham had he wanted to. He was in the prime of his life, and he could have said, no, Daddy, I ain't doing this. No, Daddy, we're not going there. No way, old man, you've lost your mind. I'm not doing what you've asked me to do. But he didn't rebel, but he submitted himself as an obedient son, obedient even unto death. And so it was with the Lord Jesus. Even though the will of the Father may have not made sense, even though the will of the Father from our eyes was askewed and was far off, the Father knows what He's doing. And so our Savior Jesus says, "Not my will, Lord, but your will. I'll be obedient all the way to the death of the cross." And that's what Isaac did. And so you and I, when God tests our faith and God tests us and stretches us and pushes us and shapes us through this trying testing of our faith, then you and I must, as children of God, say, "Yes, Lord, I'll be obedient. I'll walk there as long as you want me to. I'll follow you as long as you want me to. I'll go the distance. I'll climb that mountain. Whatever you say, Lord, I will do." So there's this act of obedience. But there's not only this act of obedience where they said, "Yea, Lord, we'll go." But there's also this matter of trust, if you will. So they're walking along. Abraham knows what's been asked of him. He is as broken as any daddy I know could ever be broke. And he's walking along, and Isaac's looking around as a young man who's intelligent and smart, and he's seen a sacrifice many times before. And he says, there's the wood, there's the fire, there's the rope to tie that sacrifice to that altar. Where is the sacrifice? Hey, Daddy, I got a question for you. Seems like we got everything together. We've got the cord to tie that sacrifice to the wood. We've got the wood. We've got the fire. After we slay that, you have the knife. So after you slay that sacrifice, after it's tied to that wood, you slay it, kill it, and then we'll set it on fire and burn it as an offering to God. But Daddy, where's the sacrifice? We forgot the lamb. Where's it at? And Abraham trusted God to know that God was going to provide a sacrifice. And he said, "Son," he said, "God's going to provide that." And so Abraham, he worships God, and I want you to understand, one of maybe the most supreme acts of worship we can do in this altar is when we come to this altar and we say, "God, it's crazy right now. I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what's happening." Am I too loud for you? I just believe this text. I don't know what's happening. I don't know where this is going. My faith has been stretched. It's been tested. I'm about to break in half. I feel so alone. But God, I'm going to trust you. That, my friend, may be one of the most extreme acts of worship we could ever commit. Is to say, "Lord, I'm going to trust you." And what about the faith of Isaac? Isaac knows this. Now watch what happens. The text tells us it's not like halfway up the mountain God sent a lamb and said, "Look, Isaac, no, you don't have to worry about a thing. Chill out, man. Relax, dude." Am I speaking to you now? "There's a lamb right here. You ain't going to have to go through that. Just cool it. You're all right." That ain't what happened. What happened was, as an obedient son, they got to the top of that mountain, and he let Daddy take that wood and build an altar with it. And he let Daddy strap him down to that wood. And he let Daddy take his knife out of the sheath. And he let Daddy draw that knife back. And just as that knife was about to fall, he made it all that far. How did he do that? Because he said this as a young man, "Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. Even if it kills me." Man, I mean, Abraham wasn't playing around. The Bible says he drew that knife back and he was about to slay his own son. And just as it began to fall, God stopped him and said, Abraham, I now know that you trust me, you believe in me, and you're obedient to me. And so Isaac laid himself down willingly. Some of you ain't getting this. I'll tell you what. I got a knife in my pocket that is sharp enough to shave your head. I'll be back there. I'll be greeting you as you're going out the door this morning. When you come by, dear sir, I want you to hold your arm out. Let me just cut your arm. Dear man, let me just cut your finger right down the middle. Is that okay to anybody? You good for that? I ain't going to kill you. I'm just going to cut you and make you wish you think you was dead. This was serious. Very serious. But Isaac says, I'm going to trust you, Daddy. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. It looks as if I'm about to die. I'm surely about to die. I'm at the brink of death. It looks like I ain't going to make it. It looks like there'll be no tomorrows. It looks like everything's over with. God, you made me promises, and it looks like that's all down the drain. God, you give me a future. It looks like all that's gone. God, you said you'd bless me, my family, and all the world be blessed because of me. It looks like I'm going to have to give that all up. God, it looks like you've changed your mind about me. God, it looks like you've lost your mind, Lord. But God, through it all, I'm going to trust you. That, my friend, is the purpose of our trials. And let me say this, and the trials of our faith, it's a matter of destiny. Now watch, that was a place, this trial, Abraham had to go through it. It was for the trying of Abraham's faith. Isaac had to see it, go through it himself. It was a trying of his faith. Was it easy? No. Did he want to do it again? No. Did he understand it all? No. But they walked through it and did it. Why? Because God used this to propel both of them right into his destiny and into his will, where God wanted them to be at. Because here's what happens. We don't walk willingly most of the time to the places God wants us to be in life. We don't walk willingly most of the time to those places that are His destiny. God has to move us. And most of the time, for God to move us up in His will and in His usefulness and His kingdom and into His destiny, our faith can't stay like it used to be, but it's got to be changed and made more of what Christ wants it to be. And God uses that to promote us in His kingdom and His plan. So for you one or two that may be here that ain't going to get cut this morning because you believe what I'm preaching, you need to understand your trial is because God intends on moving you. And I want you to understand too, this fact of destiny, I want you to understand something about Mount Moriah. See, Mount Moriah was actually that particular mountain. Abraham had no clue of this early in the human race, in biblical history. But Mount Moriah turns out to be that very little place we call Calvary. Years, 4,000 years after Abraham. Not 10 years, not 50, 4,000 years after Abraham, God needed a place called Calvary where there would be an old cross that Jesus would be hung upon. He wouldn't be sawn in half, cut in half, drowned, had rocks tied to him, burnt. But he was going to be nailed to an old rugged wooden cross where he would die for you and I for the sins of the world as an obedient son. And in the life of Abraham, here's what God said. God said, Abraham, you don't know all this right now, but I need somebody to do something that's going to be a picture and a portrayal and foreshadow the work of my obedient son, whom you've not seen, but I'm going to send in the flesh, who will make his way and be strapped to an old cross, nailed to a cross, where he'll die and be resurrected just as you thought Isaac would be if you killed him. I need somebody to lift up Jesus in the Old Testament. And that's what Abraham did. He was part of God's destiny. One of the most beautiful pictures, if you will, of the gospel so early on in the Word of God. I want you to understand something. The gospel still excites me. Man, I'm telling you. And if I ever get unexcited by the gospel, send a U-Haul over. Don't even do that. Just come over there one day and throw all of my stuff out in the yard and tell me you're done with me. Will you promise me that? If I ever get unexcited about the fact that Jesus became an obedient son, robed in flesh, died on the cross, rose again on that third day, and saved me, sealed me, and promised one day he'll come take me to be forever in heaven with him. That still excites me. So there's the place of a trial, the purpose of a trial, and then lastly this, girls, you can come to the pen. I do whatever it is God's laid on your heart. And then there's the provision for a trial. Where's my girls? Girls, that's you. You're my girls. Maddie's not my girl. Jada's not my girl. You're my girls. Go to the piano. They get lost in this sometimes. They forget too. Then there's the provision. The provision of this trial. Now watch this. Watch this. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Daddy, put yourself there. Particularly mama. Well, mama, if anybody's got a heart for their kids, it's mama. So Abraham's making this journey. Friends, listen, I can promise you, they didn't play rummy while they was making this trip. They didn't play Monopoly. They didn't sing Kumbaya. This was a hard trip. And I can promise you this, at the end of Abraham's life, if you ask him, Abraham, tell me about that journey, I bet you he'll remember every step of every mile to the top of that mountain. There was not one moment of that journey that he forgot, forever etched in his mind. That's how painful and enduring that it was. Every step he's thinking, I don't understand this. Every step he's thinking, this is more than I can bear. Every step he's thinking, I can't go any further. Every step he's thinking, God, why? God, why? God, why are you putting me through this? You promised me, God. God, you said you'd bless me. God, you said you'd keep me. God, you said you'd protect me. God, you said the world would be blessed. God, you said Isaac would be that son of promise. God, you said that it was through him that you would raise up a nation. God, why? Why, Lord, have you done all this? I bet every step he wept and cried. I bet you could attract him and trail him by the trail of tears that he left. Every step of the way, Abraham was a broken man, a tired man, and alone.